Morning, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 14th edition of the MLB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. A couple of pieces of news to talk about today, but I first got to mention in about 45 minutes, myself and Cole Shell will be doing the UFC 246 Breakdown Podcast, first one of the 2020 year. I'm excited to give out my picks for that card. Great card. I'm looking forward to it. So definitely tune in about 45 minutes. But for now, I'm going to get to some news for the day and some fight announcements. Let's start with Conor McGregor once again. He is the star this week. He is going to be fighting against Donald Cerrone this Saturday, bearing injury, bearing weight, cutting issues, whatever. But the fight's supposed to happen. So he did a long interview with Ariel Helwani yesterday, and one of the things he mentioned was he's going to make $80 million for this fight. So, you know, some people are obviously not believing that, but I do. You know, I don't see why you wouldn't. This guy is the highest paid fighter in MMA, and I'm sure that Dana and the UFC paid him very well to come back to fight. Obviously, that's not going to be all disclosed. I'm sure his disclosed salary is going to be much less, like maybe, you know, $5 to $10 million, but he's going to get a lot of pay-per-view bonuses. He's going to get a lot of under-the-table money for sure, and he's going to make a lot of money. So I'm good for him. You know, people that are not happy about this, I don't see why. You know, it's good to see an MMA fighter getting paid what they deserve. Conor makes a lot of money. He brings a lot of eyeballs to the table, so he deserves to make a lot of money. Just because Conor makes a lot of money doesn't mean that other fighters don't deserve to be paid more. Now, it's going to be pretty messed up because when you're going to look at the salaries, guys, you're going to disclose salaries anyways. You're going to see Conor, like, you know, let's say $10 million. And then you're going to see someone like J.J. Aldrich at, like, $12,000. So it's kind of messed up, the discrepancy in MMA. But, you know, Conor's earned this. You know, he really has. He's a beast, you know, and he sells pay-per-views and he gets people to watch the show. Now, I will say that this card doesn't seem to have as much buzz as maybe some of his other fights. I think there's a few reasons for that. I actually wrote an article for MMA Ratings, should be coming out today. But I'm thinking, like, you know, just the layoff has a lot to do with it. And also the stuff outside the cage, which I'll talk about right now, because in the interview, you know, Ariel didn't directly ask him about, he didn't directly mention sexual assault allegations. He just said the stuff that's out there legally, basically. And, you know, McGregor denied it. He said he's denied all the allegations against him. So, you know, I think he couldn't really talk about it. I think that his legal team told him, just don't say much about this because it's still in the court system. So, honestly, like, I know a lot of people are kind of upset that maybe he didn't say as much as we wanted him to. But, you know, in this particular instance, like, because it's still being dealt with in the courts, I can see why he didn't say too much. Not that I don't agree with that. I would like to hear him explain himself a little more. But, you know, he has to be weary about what's going on legally. So not the greatest answer from Conor, and honestly not the greatest question either from Ariel, but at least we did get a firm denial from him again. So that's something. Also in the interview, McGregor said that he would box Manny Pacquiao. He said that could happen. And no, don't be surprised. I mean, honestly, why not? Like, he already boxed Floyd. Why couldn't he box Manny? You know, especially if Zuffa boxing becomes a reality. Like, it feels like Dana White's been talking about Zuffa boxing for a few years now. And obviously he's been talking to Floyd Mayweather, and we all feel like Floyd's going to come back and he's going to fight for Zuffa boxing, but nothing's happened there yet. Maybe it's going to be Manny Pacquiao instead. You know, you could see Floyd versus Manny, but you could also see Manny versus McGregor. And I know that's going to piss a lot of people off because they don't want to see that, but you know, I don't think it's that crazy. I honestly don't. You know, here's the quote. I'd be open to other boxing bouts. You know, Manny Pacquiao, we're actually close to signing Manny. There's been talks about that Manny fight as well. So it's possible. It definitely is possible, guys. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about here, actually, one other thing he mentioned here was he said he was drinking a lot, especially in the lead-up to the Khabib fight. And that's something that I don't think any of us doubt either. You know, there was not just the drinking, but there's been, you know, suggestions that he's used to use some cocaine and stuff too. Not that, you know, that's any of my business, but there were some photos floating around a few years ago and stuff too. So, you know, it seems like he's just really focused and training well. You know, I'd hope that he's, you know, completely sober right now and just really focused on this fight because he needs this. He needs this win. He really does, guys. You know, he needs to get the job done here. You know, a lot of his 2020 season, whatever he calls it, lies to him beating Donald Cerrone. He's got to beat him in devastating fashion. He's got to go out there and knock him out and prove to the world that he still has what it takes to knock people out. He hasn't won a fight since 2016. You know, that's a long time. And I feel like that's another reason why people just don't care about him as much as they used to. He hasn't won a fight in forever. His last MMA fight was in 2018. He lost to Khabib. The last image we have in the cage was him getting choked out by Khabib. Before that, his last win was against Eddie Alvarez in November 2016, UFC 205. That was the height of his career. That's when he became a double champ. He was a lightweight champ and the featherweight champ. That was the tipping point of McGregor's career. And then since then, it's kind of gone a little bit downwards. Obviously, the Floyd Mayweather fight was huge. It wasn't an MMA fight, but a boxing match. And he made a ton of money for that fight, even though he got finished. But the height of his career was definitely the Eddie Alvarez fight. You know, and I don't think he can get back there, to be honest with you. I think he can have a big year this year. I don't think he'll ever be the big superstar guy he was three years ago, you know. But this weekend's a big fight, you know, and I'm going to talk about this fight with Cole. We'll break it down. But at the end of the day, he needs to win this fight. He needs to do so impressively. If he wins this fight, it sets up so many opportunities. He could fight Usman for the welterweight belt. He could fight Masvidal in a money fight for the BMF title. He could fight Khabib or Tony for the lightweight belt. He could fight Gaethje. If he loses, who's out there? Nate Diaz in a trilogy? Dustin Poirier? Good fights. Big fights. Not the fights that, you know, are going to make him the money that he wants, though. I guess, you know, if he loses, Manny Pacquiao is an option, though. Like, that's possible. Win or lose, Manny's an option. But I just feel like if people really want to care about him, and if Conor wants people to care about him, he's got to win this fight this weekend. And I think he probably does. All right, changing gears here. Dustin Poirier, he's calling for a 165-pound weight class. And, you know, I love it. I've talked about this a lot in the last couple of years. Makes a lot of sense to me. You know, in MMA, like, and I've talked about this so many times, you got 125, 135, 145, 155, then you jump to 170, then 185, and then 205. Now, I'm not really a fan of the 195 Franklin weight division. I just don't see enough, you know, really talented guys at 185 and 205 right now, so I don't see the point of that. But 155, 170, like, most of the best fighters in the world weigh about that weight, and it just makes more sense to me to have 165 and then move 170 to 175. My thought would be you give Usman he's still the welterweight champ, obviously. You give him the option of either taking that belt and going down to 165 or moving up to 175 with it. I think he'd probably move up to 175, but then you could create that 165-pound belt. Because there's so many guys who are like tweeners, like Poirier, Nate Diaz, Anthony Pettis. These guys would be better off at 165, in my opinion. Don Cerrone is another guy. So I actually really like the idea of that weight class. Then you have another belt to play around with as well. It just makes so much sense. Like, I'm not sure why Dana's so against it, personally. Dana White said in the past he's not going to do it. I personally like it, you know. I know not everyone's, you know, completely for the 165-pound weight class, but I personally do like it. I think it makes a lot of sense right now. And Poirier wants it too, so we'll see what happens there. But I do think there's more of a chance now than it used to be. I just mentioned Anthony Pettis. You know, it's a good segue here because he actually was on Ariel's show yesterday too, and he said he's suing USADA. Basically, what happened was he was doing a piss test and urine test, and the jar was cut and it cut his thumb open, and that was right before the Nate Diaz fight. So he cut his thumb open. He obviously lost that fight. I personally don't think that played a role in that fight at all. He got absolutely dominated in that fight, surprisingly dominated in my opinion, but. I don't think that played a role, but I can't blame him for suing them. I mean, listen, you know, USADA screws with a lot of fighters. Now it's time for the fighters to kind of get back too. So that makes some sense to me for him to do this, see what happens, you know. So Abe Cowboy, his manager, is looking out for him, and they're going to see what happens here as far as suing him goes. You know, hopefully it works out for Anthony Pettis. I feel bad that he cut his hand, but personally I don't think it would change the fight, but I can't blame him to see what would happen. Okay, let's get to a couple of fight announcements here, just a couple today. This fight is just weird. I was really surprised, and I think a lot of people were, when they saw this one yesterday. Big Ben Rothwell will be taking on John Volante at UFC 249 in Brooklyn. This is a strange fight. I mean, Ben Rothwell's like a huge heavyweight, like one of the biggest in the world, and he's been fighting forever, you know. And John Volante is not a big heavyweight. He's a small guy. He's not a big heavyweight at all. So kind of a strange matchup here. Volante is he's fought all his UFC career. Yeah, he's fought his whole UFC career at light heavyweight. He has fought heavyweight in the past in Strikeforce, but not many times, and it didn't go too well for him. I don't know about that. This is a weird fight. Like, I mean, Rothwell's not a great fighter by any means, but he did get that win against Ruben's last fight in a knockout, and we know that Volante's chin is not very good. He's been knocked out a bunch of times, super inconsistent. even though it's in Brooklyn and it's close to where Vellante is, I got to figure Roth will in this fight. I just think the size difference is just insurmountable in this fight. I just don't really totally understand the matchup, to be honest with you. Like, you know, height-wise, yeah, Rothwell's only an inch taller. And, you know, as far as reach goes, Rothwell does have a 2.5-inch reach. But it's just girth. Like, it's just width. Like, this guy is so much bigger. He's just a bigger dude. So, again, you know, Vellante, he is going to be faster. That's one thing, though. And Rothwell's very slow. So he could kind of, like, you know, pepper him with shots from the outside. I just don't see Vellante fighting like that. He's just too much of a, you know, aggressive fighter who goes inside the pocket and bangs. So I don't think it's going to go well for Vellante, but we'll see. And the other fight here, UFC 247, and my boy Mike Hecht at djpenn.com broke this news here. Good for you, Mike. Good job. Andre Ewell against Jonathan Martinez. So premium fight, obviously, between two bantamweights here. Andre Ewell, he's looked okay in the UFC 2-2. He beat Henan Barao in his debut. It was a nice win, and then also beat Anderson Dos Santos, but lost to Nathaniel Wood and Marlon Vera by stoppage. So kind of inconsistent. Martinez coming off a really nice win over Pingwan Liu by knockout. It was a great win for him. Overall, 2-1. Did beat Luigi Byrne, but lost to Andre Sukumta. So definitely a close fight. Kind of favor Andre Ewell, though. I just think he is the more well-rounded fighter, and I do believe he probably gets the job done in this fight, so we'll see what happens there. So that's going to be it for this podcast. Again, I'll be back at 11 a.m. Eastern with Cole breaking down UFC 246. Looking forward to doing that with him. All right, guys, once again, find me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, podcast, MMAoddsBreaker.com. Check out our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMAraise.net. Have a good morning, guys, and I'll be back in half an hour. Bye.